We're going to look at some here this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 and read a few verses beginning with verse number 4. I love the church because it's Christ's body in the world. I love the church because it's Christ's body in the world. Ephesians 4 and 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Key verse, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So the church, with all of its flaws and failures and weaknesses, I think that we all can conclude and that it's still the most powerful force in the world. It is still the most powerful force, at least the most powerful force for good in this world is the church. It's the light that dispels the darkness. It's the salt. We are the salt of the earth. And even though the earth is filled with corruption and there's all kinds of things in this world that are despicable and wicked and evil, yet there's the quality that the church provides or should be providing in our communities and in our neighborhoods and in our nation. It ought to be the church that's making its influence known. Amen. Through the power and the working of the Spirit of God. But it's confused a lot because we know that in the church that there is the true church, and Jesus is the head of the church and the builder of the church and the establisher of the church. And everything that he's established in the church is good and true and righteous and holy. And that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have to be reminded of the fact that in this world that there is a false church. There is a church that's counterfeit. That's always been one of the tactics of the enemy, is if he couldn't just out and out destroy something, he would counterfeit it and try to mimic it. And then by doing so, he would do it damage. And that's exactly what happens in our world today. There is a counterfeit church. There is a false church. And Satan is the head of that false church. And he promotes doctrines of devils and wickedness and evil and everything counter to the Word of God and everything that opposes God and good and righteousness. And all of these things are opposed by a counterfeit that Satan is the founder of. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, yeah, you're ignoring the Bible if you don't believe it. Matthew 13, there's several parables all related to this subject. One of the parables is Matthew 13 in verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, While you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather wheat into my barn. The parable is describing the fact that there is the true and the false, and in the church. And many times it's these areas of counterfeit that the media picks up on, and they point out the weaknesses. You know, this preacher that's fallen, and this church that's embezzled, and this ministry that's doing this wicked, evil thing, and they promote that and advertise that, and it does the church great discredit. Amen. It's been true over the years. Whenever some ministry would fall by the wayside and fall into sin, that it would cause the name of the Lord to be discredited, and the work of the ministry to be discredited. But we understand that there is a counterfeit church. It's not the real thing. But then there's the real church. Amen. The real church. Now the word incarnation is a word that we usually talk about at Christmas time. And we sing wonderful Christmas hymns, and it talks about His incarnate deity. And it's a good word, incarnation. And interesting enough that we don't think about it very much except at Christmas time, because we think of the incarnation as Jesus coming in the form of flesh. And of course, that's exactly what it means. The word itself means to take bodily form, incarnation, to take a bodily form. And that's what Jesus did. He came into this world, born of a virgin, took upon himself the form of flesh. He lived upon this planet for those 33 years and carried on the ministry that he was called. He died on the cross. He went to the tomb. He resurrected from the dead. He ascended into heaven. That was the conclusion of his earthly bodily ministry as far as Jesus in the form of flesh. But that's not the end of incarnation. Amen. It's not the end of incarnation. Because after he went and ascended into heaven, he had already told the disciples, giving them the instructions to go to Jerusalem, to wait there, to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. This was the birthing and the embodiment of the church. What Jesus was going to do in the world, now that he was ascended into heaven, he was now going to multiply many, many times over what he was doing through the embodiment of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the church is the body of Christ. Amen. That's what the church is. So whenever you think of the church, and the next time you think you want to criticize the church or what the church is or what the church is doing, remember, when you do that, you're criticizing the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And the work that he is wanting to do. You see, his life was one single life. Yes, he was man in flesh. Sure, he was God and man. And he was the Son of God in the form of flesh. But whenever he left, he told them to wait to be filled with the Spirit, and then to move forward and to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel. John 14 and verse 12, he said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Amen. Because I'm ascending into heaven. It's the conclusion of my earthly ministry. But the plan is not completed. The plan is now for the body of Christ, for everyone that's born again of the Spirit of God, who becomes a part of the body, to carry on the work. Greater things shall you do, because I have ascended into heaven. And now the church everywhere, universal, everyone born of God, we are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So incarnation isn't over at the ascension. Incarnation should be continuing today. That wherever you go, you're His hand extended. You're His voice. You're extending yourself. And what you say, what you do is you are used of God. You are touching the lives of people. And the world is a different place because of the body of Christ. When He ascended into heaven, actually the book of Acts, it's only the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1 that Jesus exists in bodily form. He said all that Jesus began to do and to teach, He was talking to Theophilus, all that He began to do, He's talking about in the book of Luke. And then He goes on, and this work of Christ, this ministry of the body of Christ through the church is the physical extension of the life of Christ in this world today. Praise God. Amen. So everywhere you go, whether it be Central America, whether it be Africa or whatever nation of the world, it's a glorious and a wonderful experience because you meet people who are born again. You meet people that you have nothing really in common with except you're one in spirit. You're the same. You are a part of this incarnation, this body of Christ, that it's extending itself to all of the world. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, because I go away. When I go away, then I'm going to baptize and infill. I'm going to fill by my Holy Spirit and empower them to carry on. And greater works shall you do because I ascend unto the Father. Praise God. That's the church. I tell you, there's nothing really more thrilling and exciting than what God can do through the church. Amen. There's nothing more pathetic than a church that is dead. A church that has no life, no zeal, no love for God, no commitment to God. All the contrast that's there. And I pray, Lord, help us at this location, this local church, to be filled with the Spirit, moving forward as His hand extended to a world that is really in need. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, the key verse of those verses that we read to you here this morning. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we know that we are to be filled with the Spirit, and we're to understand that God gives His grace to everyone who is saved. Amen. Some would say, I couldn't ever be anything for God. I can't be used of God. I really don't have no place to be usable in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, but unto every one of us. Amen. Every one of us. Doesn't matter how young, how old, what you think your qualifications are. The Bible says that when you got saved, God deposited in your life certain gifts that are usable in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. And really, they're spiritual gifts, so they're not natural qualities. They're not even natural gifts or talents that you have. These gifts come to you because you have come to the Lord and you are born again. So if you're born again, if you're a Christian here this morning, then you understand that you have a gift that has come from God. And if you've lived out to a lot of years as a Christian and you really don't even know what your part is or what your gift is, I think you need to spend a little time asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you have gifted me with, since it says in your word that everyone has received this gift of grace? Amen. That we need to be involved in it, and we need to be acting it out and living it out and being used of God to touch the lives of people. Paul recognized that. Paul was very educated. He was very gifted. He had lots of natural abilities. But he says in Ephesians 3 and 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So he was saying, outside of my natural giftedness, outside of my natural talent, You see, sometimes we tend to think, well, that person, they have such a gift to talk, or they have such a gift to play music, or they could be so much in the kingdom of God. Well, maybe they could, and maybe they might not be. Because God gives to us gifts. Sometimes those spiritual gifts complement our natural gifts that He gives to us. But the most important thing is that we realize that we're not going to be able to be what we need to be as far as God is concerned unless we receive this gift from God, the grace that comes from the Lord, the body of Christ. He said, I was made a minister. This gift was given to me by the effectual working of His power. Verse 8, it says, he describes what the gift was. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That was the primary gift that the Apostle Paul was given. He was given the grace, the ability to preach effectively the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. He had been given this gift from God. And it wasn't a natural talent, natural ability. He recognized that he was the least of the saints. He didn't have natural ability. This was a gift from God. Now here's what's so wonderful, is that when I'm gifted and you're gifted, and everybody who's a part of this group here this morning, when we all understand our part, our place, our gift of grace that God has given to us, and we all begin to act in that and to demonstrate in that gift that He has given to us, then you see the church moving forward. Then you see the church expanding and growing and developing and being what God has called us to be. Amen. Paul told young Timothy, this was 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Now, apparently what was happening in Timothy's life was that he received the gift of God when he got saved, but he allowed some of his natural personality traits to hinder that. And apparently he was shy and timid and backward and fearful. And that was his natural personality. But he said, no, don't allow that to control the gift that God has given to you, Timothy. Stir up the gift. Fan the flame. God has given you this gift. You just need to fan the flame of this wonderful gift that God has given to you. And then you can step forward in ministry. You don't have to be afraid. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, timidity. He didn't give you the spirit of fear. He did not give you the spirit of weakness. He's given you power, love, and a sound mind. He's given you the ability to do what you naturally cannot do. And that's where we make our mistake many times, is that we think, that's just not me. This is not me. I could never do that kind of work or that kind of ministry. It's just not who I am. That's just not my nature, not my giftedness, not my ability. That's the whole important message that we need to get, that it's not you. It's not your ability. God is looking for your willingness. He's looking for your obedience, for your desire to please the Lord and to step out in faith and to fan the flame of the gift of God that He's given to you. Amen. So Paul said, my personal gift didn't come to me naturally. It came to me as a gift from God. The ability to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, that came from God. And he told Timothy, this is a gift that God has given to you. Don't allow fear and timidity and all these things to stop you and to hinder you from progressing in the work of the Lord. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And he understood this was a gift from God. Hallelujah. So you may be a little surprised this morning, but we're sitting among all kinds of gifted people here. Right here. Every one of you. Some of those gifts have the fire and the coals, it's just about gone out. There's just not much left there. But you know what you need to do If you really want to see, if you really love the church and you love the work of the ministry and love what God wants to do, would you start fanning that flame a little bit? Just stir up the gift of God that's in you. Allow God to help you to step out in faith and to do things and to be used of God in ways that you've never been used of God before. I'm not as backward and shy now as I used to be, but as a young person, it was just incredible. I was so bashful. I can remember when they would, in the youth service, they would call us up just to take up the offering. We're not going to have to say anything. And just as a kid in the youth service, and I would walk up there and I'd stare at the floor, and sometimes I wish I had a video of how crazy it was back then and how hard that it was. The first time that I got up to sing in a service, I was probably maybe a young teenager, 13 years old, 14 years old, I was petrified. I had been pressured into it. I was made to do it. I didn't want to do it. And they forced me up there to sing with some other kids. I didn't want to do it. It was not my gift. It wasn't my, I didn't feel comfortable in it. I didn't want to do it. But all the while, the Lord knew, not that I'm some big singer, I'm certainly not, but it helps to be able to sing just a little bit if you're going to lead a service or whatever you're going to do in the work of the ministry. It helps. And some of those things, God was just, he was trying to fan the flame in me a little bit. Come on, get out of that rut. Get out of that backwardness. Get out of that and understand that if you're going to serve me, I have called you and I've given you some gifts, but you're going to have to allow me to develop those in your life. Amen. Amen. Now, I believe that in the early church, this was a priority. In the early church, it was a priority. I believe that in the early church, what they would do is that they would, as soon as someone began to turn to the Lord and became a part of the church, that they would begin to see them as a potential minister in the body. Amen. Maybe they wouldn't teach, maybe they wouldn't preach, maybe they wouldn't have but there's all kinds of wonderful gifts that are given to you by the grace of God. Every one of you here this morning are gifted from God. And when you develop that, what a blessing to the church. What a wonderful advantage that you give to the church and the body of Christ whenever you are used of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So stewardship is not just having to do with what money you have to give or possessions that you have. It's a part of it. But really, you also have a stewardship of the manifold grace of God, the gifts of God that he has poured into your life and he has touched you with. And he wants you to develop that. He wants you to perfect that. He wants you to exercise it, to use it, to be used of God so the church can move forward. Praise the Lord. Terrible, terrible mentality that affects the church in many, many times, many places. And that is that there are just a select few, the preacher, the song leader, a select few, and the rest of us, we're audience. We're listening. We're kind of critiquing. And we're not participating, we're not involved, we're not a part of it. We don't see ourselves as an extension of the body of Christ. But we are. Amen. Now we're all individuals, I understand that. And the scripture describes, you know, that we're all members in particular. We all have our individualness and our fingerprints, our retina can be scanned, and everybody with the planet filled with millions and billions of people, we still, even though we all are a part of the human family, yet we are all distinct. God has created us with not only this individuality, but he has poured into us gifts that nobody else can do what you can do. Amen. 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 You have a quality. You have the gift of God. You have the ability from God. So when opportunities and open doors come your way, step through those by faith and believe that God can use the church. Little song that I've heard before on the radio. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is it that his love is not showing them that there is a way? There's a lot more to that song. But if we're the body of Christ, we are Christ into that 3.5 years of ministry. He crammed so much into that 3.5 years that John said that if all the books that would be written about the things that he has done, that the world could not contain them. It's mind-boggling that the type of impact that one life had, those few short years of ministry had, and then he just handed it off to you and to me. It's ours now. What are we going to do with it? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with it. I'm just going to go to church every once in a while. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to be used of God? Are you going to take it to heart and realize that you have been handed a most precious gift and treasure? And the only way really that you're going to be truly fulfilled in life and experience the blessing of the Lord in your life, it's not going to be through money. It's not going to be through anything that the world has to offer. It's only going to be as you respond to the call of God and what you were created to be and to do. Then you'll be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I love the church. I love the church. And I love when I see people being used of God. Amen. It's a part of my motivational gift from God. That when I see people progressing spiritually, that encourages me. If there can be one or two that I can just see really making some progress forward, then I can keep going. I can keep moving forward because that's what motivates me. Of course, what deflates me is when I see people backing up from God, not growing in God, losing out in their commitments to the Lord, not being used of the Lord in the ways that they can and they should be. That really discourages me. So if you want to discourage the preacher, then just back up. Don't be used of God. Don't be interested in the things of God. Don't be interested in church. Don't be interested in the ministries of the church. Just go your own way, and you're gonna really deflate me. Because that's part of my gift from the Lord to be an exhorter, an encourager to people in spiritual things. And so I have found myself over the years, I've reflected on this, that many times I would preach. I don't know, Brother Withrow, if you've ever had this occasion, but I would notice people who were really, as soon as you said, okay, we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 4, and you see them. And every word that you're saying, you see, wow, that person, I've really connected with that person. They're interested in what's going on here. I found myself preaching to the audience of one. And there might have been a whole bunch of people there, but in that crowd, I saw this person that was open to the things of God and hungering after the things of God, and that person became my audience. Amen. Because I was motivated and encouraged by that. Amen. I want to challenge you today to love the church. To love the church. Love the church just like you love your family. But even to a greater degree. Amen. You just overlook the weaknesses and the shortcomings. And we all mess up. We all do things that there's been plenty of time that I've got up to sing a chorus and my voice cracked. And I thought, I don't think I'm going to lead choruses no more. I'm not going to try this no more. It's not working out. But you just got to stay at it. We all have our little areas where we fail, where we mess up, where we make mistakes, where none of us are
to that place of that level of maturity and perfection, but we are a part of the body. We are members in particular. We're all individuals that have been called of God, and we have been placed where we are to fulfill God's work. Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you love the church?
Amen. Then just overlook some weaknesses and shortcomings and ask God to pour His grace out upon them and to remind them of their usefulness to God and to the kingdom of God. Amen. Church is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful force in this world. Amen. And I want to see us growing and moving forward and advancing and having an influence upon our culture today through the ministry of the church. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us and you have blessed us with these wonderful gifts of grace in our life. And Lord, I just pray for those that can't seem to even believe that there could be things that you have deposited into their life, Lord, that are useful to the kingdom. Lord, make them aware of those areas of their life. And Lord, help them to fan the flame, to stir up the gift of God in their lives. Move through us, Lord, here as a local body, right here in this location. Move in every life and every young person, every child, every mother and dad, everyone, Lord, that's a part of this group here today. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord, because we know that we are your body in the world today. Amen.